Today's sermon is called Lord of the Rings, taken from the lesson of the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Lord of our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. James and John are disciples in this week's scripture who still don't quite get it, have asked Jesus to sit at his right and his left hand because they wanted power and prestige. But let's be clear. They are men, after all, and they are probably after power and title and prestige and etc. And we talked at length about this a couple of weeks ago. Men love hierarchies, and they love to be thought of as in the know or in good favor of the boss. But in thinking about why they would do this only a few days after Jesus already went through with them this whole bit about after they secretly argued amongst themselves which of them was the greatest, maybe there's also another layer that we don't always think about. In 1944, the great Christian writer and theologian C.S. Lewis gave a talk to students at King's College in Cambridge called The Inner Ring, about this longing to be safely inside imagined lines and walls of belonging. Now, inner rings exist not because of who is inside them, but because of who is kept out. An inner ring creates and defines outsiders and then coddles the insiders with special privileges and powers. For Lewis, in-groups are not about power, but are about exclusivity. Here's an excerpt from that talk. We hope, no doubt, for tangible profits from every inner ring we penetrate. Power, money, liberty to break rules, avoidance of routine duties, evasion of discipline. But all these would not satisfy us if we did not get, in addition, the delicious sense of secret intimacy. Maybe then James and John wanted a secret intimacy with Jesus apart from the other disciples. What they imagine is less about them and more about Peter, Andrew, Philip, Nathaniel, Bartholomew, and the rest, and the look on their faces when they see that they are not sitting next to Jesus in glory. Men kind of like that too, having this gotcha moment and seeing others dumbfounded, eyes wide, mouth hanging open. Given the audacity of what just happened, men love to see that look of, oh, man, you got me, whether it's an achievement or an event. Guys just love juking their friends and foes for just such a purpose. Now, we can laugh a little bit at this, maybe hearing two disciples ask Jesus like eight-year-olds if they can sit up with him at front and be his groupies. But don't we all have ways that we have chosen or longed to be part of inner rings in our own communities, or even with God and the holy? Lewis, ever the erudite and articulate one, says we are not longing for virtue or kindness or loyalty or humor or learning or wit or any of the things that can be really enjoyed. We merely want to be in. But that's not how the Jesus or the kingdom of God works, of course. But we still try for that favored status, don't we? You don't know what you're asking, says Jesus. You haven't thought this through, folks. You cannot drink the cup that I will have to drink. Meaning that God will show love best through suffering the most. Oh, we can. We can, they assure him. They had even phrased their request, if you notice, as more of a command than a favor. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Who says such a thing? Well, kids who are out of control of their parents. Actual teachers never give in to this kind of blackmail. And even Jesus kind of reacts with how all second grade teachers might respond. What do you want me to do for you? But even as we follow God and God's teachings, we're still essentially coming back to what we expect of God. What will you do for us? All of the lesson of Isaiah 53, often called the gospel of the Old Testament, is lost because we want to be glorified not just with God, but like God. We want to know that our efforts of years of attending church and doing good will get rewarded, and not just any recognition, but rewarded greatly. It's why American Christians are so focused on individual salvation. And that's because we can see and feel what is ours, that we have ours, but others do not. Oh, happy day for us, I'm saved. But that's not really biblical, is it? And it's not what Jesus ever says. Jesus does not promise that we will get rewards later. And that's a good thing, because that means we can't keep score now to figure out who's best. The only thing Jesus wants for us, from us, right here, right now, is that we should give up any authority and instead focus on what holds us back from that life of service. And for Jesus, it's not an individual thing. It's a collective thing. Jesus came to save us all. Remember our sermon a few weeks ago? Whoever does something in the name of the one is for us and cannot be condemned. Let me say that again. Whomever does something in the name of the one is for us and cannot be condemned. What this says is that although we love the Jesus flavor of following God, God is bigger than Christianity. The Jews did not suddenly become God's unchosen people with the arrival of Jesus on the scene. God loves them just as they are, right here, right now, with equal favor. Now, we will disagree mightily about how religions fight amongst themselves over implementing and interpreting God's love. But here in the United Church of Christ and at the Community Congregational Church of Greenland, we will not get into prioritizing one person over another in any way, on any terms of any position, any power, any standing. And we say that because Jesus says that. All are equal. Period. So the Zebedee brothers come with their shopping list of what they wanted to get and to make up the seating arrangement in the heavenly banquet. Would we look like James and John in this passage if we had some of our prayer requests made public? Maybe the better test is how we respond to something that we believe is beyond our dignity. And the question is, did we show love? I'm going to leave you with these final thoughts. Lewis said, until you conquer the fear of being an outsider. An outsider, you will remain. This is true not only in Christianity, but in human psychology. It is not inner rings, but friendship and service that offer us real belonging. As Jesus explains in his reproach to James and John, the kingdom is not about who is in and who is out, nor is Christian greatness about who's on top and who is not. Glory and greatness in Christ come from seeing others, helping others, loving others. As God in Christ sees, helps, and loves us, glory and greatness in Christ come from seeing others, helping others, loving others, just as God in Christ sees, helps, and loves us. And I said that twice because it means believing that we are all on the inside, even if we aren't sure that we or our neighbor is worth it. For that, thanks be to God. Amen.